Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep center. Bradley going back, away back, and deep center. That ball is gone. It's a grand slam to win the game. Mark sends a text message into the Yankee bullpen. Oh, you're on the mark, DeShera. He hits a grand slam, and the Yankees come all the way back.
Odd scene last night. The Yankees scored five in the ninth and beat the Red Sox 5-3. Mark DeShera, the night where the ball wasn't carrying, he must have crushed it. And the odd thing was the Yankees are euphoric. They're jumping up and down. They won the game at a walk-off grand slam. The Red Sox went back in the clubhouse and poured champagne because they clinched the East. Crazy. The Red Sox fan was not happy. But it is John Sterling's call. That should be the play-by-play call today. Great comeback by the Yankees last night. Time now to bring in Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of Minnesota football. Mike, it's always great to have you on board. I know it's your first trip to Beaver Stadium. Mitch Leidner, quarterback. The pro guys love him because height, arm strength, and so forth. But the issue with him over the years has been accuracy. He's hitting a little bit better than 64% so far. How's he been able to solve that?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a combination of stuff. Yeah, he was 16 of 20 the other day and had a drop. That was in that Colorado State game. And then he had an interception, so I guess only two balls hit the ground that he threw. So he was throwing it to somebody all day. I think it's a combination of stuff. One, he's a fifth-year player. I just think over the course of time, the more comfortable you feel, the more confident you are throwing the ball into a window, just honestly, the better you're going to be. I mean, there's a lot of fifth-year guys, if they go through the process, I think they can get to that point. But I also think that it's an interesting thing. I think they're giving him a few more higher percentage passes than maybe he has had in the past. I'm talking like the simple crossing routes over the middle. That wasn't a staple necessarily of this offense. They had other things with which they wanted Mitch to do, and, you know, he at times struggled with that. But I think right now this is the best he's looked. But I really think a lot of it is mostly experience. Just the idea that, you know, he's older than everybody on the field, and, he's playing at a pretty good level right now.
And Wolitarski's been his favorite guy. Wolitarski did play against Penn State the last time they went into Minneapolis to play in 13. Where's he become better?
Well, again, experience. But, he's always been pretty good. He's one of the all-time receiving leaders in high school football out in California. You think about all the great players that have come through high school ranks out there, and yet he wasn't recruited that heavily, and the Gophers got him in here on a visit. I was actually interviewing him the other day, and he was joking about the fact that they got him in on a September visit. If it had been a January visit, he might have thought a second time about that, because, you know, when you're a California kid and that first 20 degree below zero day hits, you're like, what in the world did I get myself into? But I think experience, he's a big kid, he can run. He's 6'3", and he's over 200 pounds. The level of confidence, and I think at a place like Minnesota, Steve, more than maybe some other places, it is about development. They really, when they recruit, have to kind of get guys that they see potential in, but maybe, a school like Penn State or Oklahoma or Michigan might say, you know, we already got a kid that's more developed that we can recruit. We're going to pass on this kid. Well, Minnesota will take that kid and redshirt him, although Wolitarski's not a redshirt, and then build him up. And then hopefully when it goes in cycles, and hopefully you hit a cycle where, you know, there's a back-to-back recruiting class where they're all developing together, and then you hit it. And, you know, Iowa's done that a number of times in the Kirk Ferentz era where they take a dip and then all of a sudden they get that right cycle. Wisconsin's made a living on it. They've been very consistent with it. And and Minnesota's trying. So I think a lot of it has to do with he and Leitner have been in school roughly the same time. They're on the same page, and they're playing at a high level, and they have confidence right at this second.
Minnesota's offensive line, very good, very big, and to their credit, have not been called for a holding penalty this season, Mike. But they've been called for 9 false starts, and all 3 games have been at home. How concerned are they with that?
Yeah, those pre-snap things are killers, right? Because, and the other thing is they've only given up 1 sack. They now some of that is Leitner, who's very coy about. I mean, he's mobile. I mean, he's big. He's 6'4 and 230, but he can get around. I mean, he had 60 yards rushing last week, and he's had games where he's had over 100 yards. And he has, again, as his experience has gotten better, he's been good about getting rid of the football, stepping up in the face of pressure, tucking and running when necessary. But these pre-snap things are things that coaches can't live with. Even a hold, I mean, if you're preventing a sack, you may say that isn't a terrible play because, one, it might not get called, and, two, you're saving the quarterback a hit. And right. If it does get called, it gets called. Where, you know, when the quarterback's just calling signals and you're jumping, that's no good because it's really on you. There's no need for it. And I don't know what the answer is. I know they've talked about it each week. The first drive of the season in the first game, they had 3, and people, including the radio announcer for this particular team, was like, "What in the world is going on here?"
Who is that person? Have they identified him, Mike?
No, we don't want to identify him. We'll keep him anonymous here at this point. But the next week they played Indiana State, and I think this is an interesting thing because I know even out in with you guys, you had a little controversy with this same thing. Indiana State was their linebackers were clapping. The Gophers used that clap to start the snap,
right?
And so there were 2 penalties right off the bat that were procedure penalties on Minnesota, and I was. We were kind of, a little anguished up in the booth again. And then after the game, someone mentioned to me, go watch the tape. So I went, and sure enough, the middle linebacker on both those opening drive penalties clapped, and the right guard and the right tackle each fell for it and jumped on the wrong clap. So we're all still trying to figure out if there's a rule or not with that. And I know, was it the Pitt game that there was some controversy surrounding you guys. So I don't know what the rule is, but that was one of the issues in the Indiana State game. But for sure, to answer the question, I'm sorry it's a long answer, but Tracy Clays is absolutely concerned about the pre-snap stuff.
All right, and then that's part of it. What did it mean to get Shannon Brooks back in combination with Smith and the J.C. Kid McCrary?
Yeah, it just adds another dimension. He's a little different runner than the other two, probably more explosive. He had, 5 or 6 plays over 30 yards last year. He had a nice run in the game where he basically decapitated one of the defensive backs for Colorado State last week. So the good news for Minnesota is of all the positions, that is a position of depth. Smith's been good, McCrary's been good, and they even have a couple of guys that haven't really played yet that they really feel good about. But Brooks is the difference maker. He's a guy that when he touches it, he can take it the distance. And so that dynamic is nice. And I think the college game's changing anyway, where you need at least 2 and maybe 3 running backs. One, it takes some hits off guys. 2, when that fourth quarter comes, you'd like to have 2 or 3 fresh guys with fresh legs against a defense that's been out there all day. And that's the one thing this Gopher coaching staff has done is they have tried to stay in with trends. They're a very trendy staff. They have really gotten into defensive packages based on situation, based on matchups, and they also do that with running backs now. They're making sure that those guys are fresh. I think it'll be Smith and Brooks getting most of the carries with McCrary, coming in and taking a little bit of a load off. But the other thing is I think at some point, we haven't seen it yet, but at some point I think we'll see 2 guys on the field together, maybe, right. A slot or twin backs or something. At some point that might happen. I don't know if it'll be this week, but I think they'll eventually get to that point as well.
Look, they're a base 4-3 defense, but they played a lot with the stand-up on the outside. That's a change for Minnesota. How much do they like it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I was talking about. They have done a lot more progressive stuff, I guess I'd call it, in these packages. So if it's a 3rd and, say, 8 or longer, they have a separate package for all that stuff where, okay, we're going to get pass rushers in. And there's even been a couple of formations, packages where they'll run just 2 tackles and then put linebackers almost at the defensive end spots. And it's a strange look, but it has worked. You know, and we're seeing a lot of different things. Even Iowa, who doesn't change almost anything they do, they have that package where all the guys up front just stand up. They don't even get down into a stance. They just stand and they'll rush. So it's a changing game, and Minnesota's really trying to do that. They're starting the group they started last week, and it included a couple of guys that had hardly played, and some of that was based on how they felt that they matched up with Colorado State. So they're not scared to make some changes.
Right. And when you look at, you know, the down line, was it, I think it's Richardson. Richardson's the one to me on tape. I watch him. He really stands out. How good has he become for him?
Yeah, you know, he had a little – he's really good. I mean, if he were – he's 6 foot, maybe a tad under. He's a big kid out of Chicago. His legs are like stovepipes, just strong. he's incredibly strong and mobile. And he had a really good freshman year. And then last year he had this calf injury that he played through, and he just didn't put up the numbers. And finally, 8 or 9 games in, basically he was down to just a handful of plays a game just because that calf. Well, he's healthy again, and it's showing. The first two plays, you're right, last week he got a sack and then a tackle for a loss on the first two plays. And the Colorado State coach afterwards is like, and you know how coaches are. They only go by numbers. He's like, that number 96, we could not block him last year, and we could not block him this year. and that's the case. If he were 6'3", he'd probably be playing for Michigan, but he's 6 foot. And those are the kind of guys that I mentioned earlier, the Gophers are willing to take a chance on it. He reminds me, if you remember, Mike Daniels, who now plays for the Packers, who's a similar player, you know, like I think he might even be a Philadelphia native maybe, but he, 6 foot, 6'1" guy, high motor, strong, low center of gravity. And that's the kind of guy that he is. And obviously Gopher fans are hoping that he stays healthy this year because he is, an impact. And their pass rush has been better because he demands so much attention.
Devers, the freshman out of Pompano Beach, has certainly racked up some really good numbers early. What happened to him as to why he won't play in this game?
You know what? Nobody's really sure where that injury is, but it sounds like he's out. We had a coach's show on Tuesday with the head coach on the radio network, and he didn't seem like, when we asked him about it, it didn't seem like he was going to be out. But then later in the week, Wednesday, they ruled him out, or maybe it was even Tuesday night. But he was one of those situational guys. He has 3 tackles this year, Steve. There are 3 sacks, there are 3 forced fumbles, and Minnesota recovered all 3, and
right.
That's it. He's a true freshman, so I don't know who can track this, but I'd like to know that there can't be a guy in the history of college football whose first 3 tackles in a career have all been sacks, all been fumbles, and all been recovered by your team. It's got to be, if not a first, there can't be but 2 or 3 guys that have ever started a career that way.
Insane. I mean, really. And, you watch him on tape, and he gets out of the blocks. He is quick out of the blocks. So if he's got an ankle injury or something like that, then that really takes his effectiveness to a different level.
Yeah, he's a strong guy. He's only 220-ish, 225. He started camp at like 215, but they put some muscle on him. But he's skinny, but, man, it is remarkable what power he has for a skinny kid. And I think obviously that's what they liked about him. Their plan was, hey, this is a, under-recruited kid we're going to develop, and we'll probably redshirt him. And like 2 weeks into fall camp, they're like, nope, he's going to play, and he's going to be a pass rush specialist, and he's going to be really good, it looks like. And so far they've been right on that.
Now the next part deals with the staff. You deal with the staff all the time. Now, obviously Matt Linegrover's here now, but
yep.
How did the stability of that staff get through, allow Minnesota to get through what really had to be a tough situation with a quality guy in Jerry Kill?
Well, a lot of it was because they went through a lot of that same stuff for a lot of times. I mean, Jerry missed 4 or 5 different, not full games, but parts of games. He did miss a full game at Michigan, and those guys just went to work. Matt is the offensive guy, and Tracy Clays is the defensive guy, and then everybody else underneath those guys. And I don't think there's any doubt that the program was on the trajectory. They went to the Citrus Bowl 2 years ago, and they were headed in the right direction. Then injuries hit them, and then Jerry Kill's retirement came about in the middle of the year last year, and it did certainly force a step back. And then when Tracy got the job, I just think he felt like he wanted to see some different things offensively, maybe one voice, because Matt was sharing some of the play calling duties. And Matt's one of my all time favorites. He's a, you know, his IQ is off the charts. You know, he's a University of Chicago grad. And there's no doubt, you know, I don't know. I really don't know what, you know, how, you know, I'm sure it may be awkward, him and Tracy Clays, in terms of, you know, shaking hands and talking before the game. But there's no doubt those players and the rest of that staff, those assistants that were together all those years, I'm sure there's going to be some happy hugs there, at least in the pregame.
Every coach wants, and this will be the final question, Mike, I'll let you go. Appreciate the time. Every coach wants to, at some point, have it built within the way they want. And I felt, well, I'll give you a good example. You and I both watched Greg Gard take over at Wisconsin. He did things differently than Bo. Even though he worked with Bo forever, he did things differently because he thought that was the best way for the group he had to win. Are you seeing that in, you know, you've mentioned a couple things with Tracy. Is that what you're seeing with him, that he's just looking around and doesn't do things the same way Jerry does because he just has his own way of doing it?
Yeah, there's no doubt they've changed a few things. I think generally the tenor of the program is the same, the tone, the philosophies, you know, here's our practice schedule, here's when we lift weights, all that stuff's the same.
Right.
But I don't think there's any doubt schematically it's changed a little with the new offensive coordinator, Jay Johnson. Like I said, that it's just a little bit varied, and they've been pretty good. They're over 400 yards each of the last 2 weeks. And then defensively, they elevated the secondary coach, who I'm high on. I think he'll be a head coach someday, a guy named Jay Sauvel. And he, and I always thought Tracy was good. Tracy Clays, I always likened him to like a mad scientist, you know, devising these schemes to try to figure out ways to confuse a quarterback or what have you. And I think in Sauvel's case, after he was elevated and Tracy gave him the reins to the defense, they've even taken that to a little bit higher step. I don't think there's any doubt that Jay's a bigger risk taker. I mean, they'll blitz, they'll stomp, they'll do different things up front, even more so than they did in the past. And like I said, they've come up with a lot of these different personnel groupings that that's changed. So yeah, I do think that Tracy's trying to put the footprint down schematically a little different, but I think the general guidelines of the program, how they want their guys to behave, when they lift, when they eat, how they practice, type of kids they recruit, all that stuff has stayed pretty much the same.
Mike, we're looking forward to having you here on Saturday. Can't wait to see you.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of Minnesota Golden Gopher football. Back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. We're at 800-795-9565. Want to jump in? We'd like to hear from you. Sports Bozo of the Day is coming up, and more if you want to jump in on what Sandy Barber had to say about James Franklin not being on the hot seat now and won't be on the hot seat in December. So you want to jump in and tell us what your thoughts on that happen to be? Go ahead. 1-800-795-9565. Love to hear it. And from you as well. Baseball is hitting, by the way, a really tough part here. I mean, the bottom line is baseball is going to get the possibility. Game 6 would be November 1st, and Game 7 would be November 2nd. I'm sorry, it's too long. It's too long. It's not... I think they have to, if they want to keep a 162 game schedule, or even if they fall back to a 154 game schedule, I think they have to start maybe thinking about starting in mid March. I mean, you don't have a big window to begin with where baseball has life to itself. You've got the NCAA men's basketball tournament. You've got, then you've got the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs. They only really have about 6 weeks where it's just open for them.
So when did you think the exact final day of the baseball, like pre-Halloween, like October 20th?
I wouldn't mind if it was somewhere between the 20th and the 25th. I mean, I don't know. I just think that...
taking it into early November. Look, you're already losing to football to begin with, and even the football ratings are down some this year. But that part where I think baseball's got to understand where they are in the pecking order right now, and they've got to do whatever they can to at least capture a time that is their own. And I think extending it into early November doesn't do them a lot of good. It's just my thought. All right, final half hour of the show coming up. And the phone line open at 1-800-795-9565.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. This is Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. There are certain individuals that no matter what the circumstance, you can count on for this segment when you're in a pinch. We were not in a pinch today, but still Dez Bryant is the winner. I don't think I'll take that MRI. I don't think I'll show up for treatment. I don't think I'll take that MRI. I don't think I'll show up for treatment. Really? It's probably out at least 3 weeks, it looks like. But then he didn't show up at the team meeting. Other than that, really terrific stuff from Dez.
I would think anyone with the last name of Jones would get on the blue phone ASAP and get a car to his place and tow him in there and figure out what's the deal. You would think.
Look, I don't care how talented you are. You can be talented all the way. If you can't do the basics, you can't play for me. I will not have you on the. I would not have him on the team. As much as you would like to sit there and say, you know, oh, yeah, you know, we can put up with him because he's so talented. I wouldn't put up with it. I don't care. I'll find somebody else who can play. I don't think talent trumps all. I just don't. I never have felt that way. I think if you're a pain in the neck, I think as a pain in the neck, you drive everything down. I really believe that.
Go hang with other pains in the neck.
Right. I just don't think there's anything where talent is just, well, we'll just put up with him. He's so ultra-talented. There are a lot of talented people out there. All right, I'll go find them.
But you would think he would want to contribute the best way possible for his team to win. And sitting around 3 days, knowing that you're not 100%, you'd think you would take action and get immediately to the team physician and start doing what you have to do to get back on the field?
Well, you'd think. Silly me.
He is now the three-time sports bozo of the day. So he's on pace for sports bozo of the year here. Who's counting?
We are.
Not that I have anything else to do.
I don't. These people have marvelous gifts. Marvelous gifts. Gifts that you and I wish that we had. And
like if he played for the Patriots, that would not be tolerated.
No.
And and he would not appear on the injury report.
Right.
We probably wouldn't be aware of his current situation.
That's right.
That's a whole nother topic.
But the injury report, you do have to say doubtful, questionable. You do have to do that because, I mean, the league mandates it. And we know why the league mandates it. It's about gambling, obviously. But still. I know he feared the worst, so he probably was hesitant about getting an MRI. But you got to get one to find out, you know. And if it's still is, if it's not great, you have to then start rehabbing it so you can get back. Now it looks like he's going to be out 3 weeks. But I'm sorry, you know, he's at a point now where he should be setting an example for all the younger receivers on that team. He's not a kid anymore. Man, this is not a couple of years out of Oklahoma State with all the problems he had there and so forth. He's beyond that now.
But it makes you wonder, too, what kind of impression that leaves on Dak Prescott. And what's Dak thinking? It's like, come on, I need you here. I need you back healthy as quickly as possible.
Right. Now, he's just a babe in the woods out there, and the thing's going 1,000 miles an hour for him. But it sets a bad example for everybody else. Well, I mean, you know, Dez can get away with it. You know,
maybe and take Sean Lee, for instance. It just makes you wonder what Sean Lee is thinking with what's going on with his teammate.
Sean Lee was tempted and almost gave back his money because he was hurt 1 year.
Well, what's that tell you about the quality of person he is?
Well, I already know that.
Oh, you have for years. A lot of people, all of us have. Absolutely.
Yeah. We already know that, but I everybody's built differently, wired differently. I understand that. But I don't understand when someone has natural gifts like this guy does, why squander it? Why squander it? Why take it for granted? Why do you keep winning, Bozo, the day? No.
Yeah, when he's on his first spin on the alumni tour, it's like, oh, yeah, back in the day, that's that one day I was Bozo of the Day. I could have avoided that.
Well, now he's at three. He's got a lot of explaining to do. A lot of explaining to do. All right. But yeah, I mean, you know, when you get some, like, I mean, Jason Witten, for example. Now he's a pro's pro. I mean, what's he thinking watching this? So I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. I think there are certain reasons why certain guys don't have Super Bowl rings. Now, part of it's the teams they play on. But, you know, why doesn't Terrell Owens have one? Why doesn't Randy Moss have one? I don't know. Well, part of it's the teams they play on, obviously, but still. I just see attitudes such as these. I'm like, what are you doing? Get an MRI. Show up for treatment. Go to the team meeting. And go to the team meeting. Hey, by the way, Vontaze Burfict will be back tonight. There's a reason to watch NFL Network, huh?
I will be watching. Not for that specific reason, but watching for football.
Now, Houston and UConn, that's the college game tonight. UConn was the only team that beat Houston last year. I don't see it happening this year. I just don't. Oh, well. I mean, this game tonight's only on NFL Network. This is not the Bengals game against the who that Bengals got tonight? Bengals game against
Miami.
Miami. Yep. It's only on NFL Network tonight.
Yep.
I wonder who's announcing that game. Is it Tirico? Is it going to be?
It should still be
Jim Nance.
Yeah, it'll be Nance and Phil and Tracy Wolfson. Well, yep. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. It's part of that CBS NFL combo package. Yeah, I'm not sure when the first, when is the first NBC game? Is it last week of October, first week of November? Something like that. I think they split the season up in half, I guess.
Probably when Alan Crusade is. No, I'm just kidding. No. Just joking.
Dolphins have won three straight meetings with the Bengals, but Cincy's favored by 7.5 tonight.
All right, now listen to this one under the category of Bozo of the Day.
Oh, we got a double. We got a double bubble. Oh. All right.
Today was the service for Jose Fernandez, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's been memorialized through the week following the tragic death, right? And he went to Braulio Alonso High School in Tampa. And they had a candlelight vigil in his memory on Wednesday night. On display was one of the two jerseys that he wore that the school still has in possession. Guess what? Somebody took one. What in the... Okay. His jersey was hanging in the dugout during the ceremony. The school had to file a police report. I mean, what is wrong with you? Hey, what is wrong with you to do? I mean, what possesses somebody to, I'm going to take the jersey. You're going to take the jersey, really? I mean, that's insane. Hillsborough Public Schools sent out a press release to the media saying Fernandez's jersey was hanging in the dugout during the ceremony. As the coaches and school leaders were cleaning up after the vigil, they noticed that the jersey was gone. They filed a police report. They're pleading with whomever who took the jersey to return it. I mean, are you kidding me? After a while, you shake your head and you wonder, what is wrong? Let's go to Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick, how are you today?
Steve, I don't think this was on your show because I was working. I'm just leaving work. But I heard a sports show. It might have been Dan Patrick. I don't know. And a guy called in and talked about television in the NFL. And they said people, the viewership's down.
Yes, it is.
And he said, well, listen, you take Monday Night Football off ABC and you put it on some networks. A lot of people don't get these channels. They don't get some of these things. So consequently, he just doesn't understand why they don't understand that, I guess.
He's right and he's wrong. Oh, okay, right. About that. All right, let's just go through last Sunday. Last Sunday, 1 o'clock Fox was up over last year. 1 o'clock on CBS was down from last year. 4:25 on Fox was down from last year. 4:25 on CBS was down from last year. And Sunday Night Football, which was the Bears and the Cowboys, was also down from last year's game the same week of the season. Now, Monday Night Football, we know, is going to be a fallback anyway because it's on ESPN. And Monday Night Football this time around went up against the presidential debate, so it had no shot. Right. It was going to go down anyway. So that's logic and common sense. But why is Sunday Night Football down? Now, I think part of why Sunday Night Football was down this particular week was, I think it was just a bad matchup to put on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, I just never really gave it a lot of thought not that I lost my interest in NFL football, But he has a point when you start taking them off major networks and putting them on stuff that some people don't have. I don't even know if everybody has the NFL network. I have no idea on packages out there unless you have to subscribe sometimes to get this stuff. So I guess
that's a very good point. That's a very good point. The fact that the Thursday night game, like tonight's going to be on NFL network, there's no way it's going to generate the rating that's going to be when you have it on over the air. But 10 of the games on Thursday night, actually 11 including the opening game of the season, are going to be on either CBS or NBC. So that to me is the gauge on popularity as to where it is. Outside of the selected Thursday games on NFL Network and the Monday night games on ESPN, all the other games in the NFL are on over-the-air TV. So it's not, Dan's got a point only, but it's limited.
Well, I don't think it was his point. I think somebody called in and made the point. I think it was a caller that called in and made the point. And he was just listening, and then, you know, I don't recall actually what he told the guy, but to me it seemed like a legitimate thing, especially when you get off of a network like ABC, which pretty much everybody gets, and go to even ESPN. I'm sure everybody gets ESPN, but. And I guess it is what it's up against, either Dancing with the Stars
To a point, Dick, you know what? That's a good point. ESPN has had, at least until the last quarter they actually gained a little bit in subscribers. But in each of the last 2 to 3 years, you know, as you and I both know, there's been cord cutting going on with cable. And subscribers have dropped from about 90 million almost down to 80 million for ESPN. That's a big drop. Now, people are not cutting back on over-the-air TV.
Right.
And the vast majority of NFL games are on over-the-air TV. Now, if you always can't get your local game, are you an Eagles guy, Dick, or are you a Ravens guy?
I don't
guy?
Root for anybody except the Orioles in professional sports. I follow them all,
okay.
But I just don't care who wins.
Okay.
There'll be some people play fantasy football, you know.
Okay.
And I didn't have a favorite team, which gave me somewhat of an advantage because I didn't care who I got as long as they were healthy.
And that's then, a huge advantage.
Last year.
That's a huge advantage. Do you get NFL Red Zone, for example?
I watch that. That's how I get most of my football anymore. I just watch the Red Zone to see what's going on.
That's why we had Scott Hansen on the show a couple of weeks ago, because I think that is the one that people are going to, because you get a taste of every game as the day goes, and you're not just locked into one.
Yeah. What do you think about how much of it could be a revolt for the national anthem? Maybe some people are just fed up with that kind of stuff, so they just give up on football.
I think that plays a role, Dick. I think it plays a role. I think, you know, I think the NFL is at this point where I think they botched the Brady thing so badly. They didn't do a great job handling the Ray Rice thing. The Greg Hardy thing didn't turn out right, but that wasn't the NFL's fault. That was on appeal. Adrian Peterson thing didn't help. And then you go through this national anthem thing, you know, and people are looking at Colin Kaepernick, and he absolutely has the right to protest, but then you have a segment of the population that looks at him and says, how many millions are you making a year? So your problem is what? And that's a question people are asking, and that may be turning them off to not watching the games.
Well, you'll know this. You remember when the Major League Baseball went on strike partway through the season a few years ago? Well, it was many years ago. It wasn't last week. It was a couple. And I had a good friend who was a Baltimore Oriole fan. He has never watched a game or been to a game since then. He just said, done with. Some people just could reach a point where that's enough of it.
Is that 94?
94.
Yeah, it's been a long time ago. I don't care who plays. He quit watching baseball. Just because of
and
that.
And I can understand why, because, you know, you and I sit there and we watch these games, and we see it as a privilege to play the game. Now, we know how hard it is. It's difficult. It's physically demanding. It's mentally tough. We understand all that, but we still view it as a privilege to do that, and also view it as you know, a privilege to make that much money. And that's the part that those involved in let's lock them out, let's strike, let's protest, they don't understand that the average person is sitting there saying, okay, I see you doing it, but I also know how much money you make, and you're also playing a game, so I don't get it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing the players better think about is if they're responsible for any of it, and all of a sudden viewership goes down, people aren't going to want to sponsor this stuff, and that's where they get a lot of their revenue.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a good point.
That's another side of the coin is, oh, I'm not going to sponsor that anymore. Hell, nobody watches it, you know.
Well, look at all the sponsors that drop Ryan Lochte.
Yeah. I mean, it could happen down the road here. If next year they look at the viewership numbers and go, "Yeah, why would I be putting that kind of money in that? I can put a little sponsor something else or advertise somewhere else and get that good of viewership." So, I mean, they do their figures too. They're not just complete idiots. The guys that are doing that sponsoring, you know.
Oh,
all
no,
right, I'll
no
let you go.
Question. You're right. You're absolutely right, Dick. Thanks.
See
you. You know,
thanks.
Two years ago, I had said in the show that the NFL looked like it was bulletproof. But since that point, since 2 years ago when I made that statement, they have taken the hammer to the golden egg and they keep tapping on it. They better be careful about how much they're tapping. Now, is a guy like Colin Kaepernick completely within his rights as an American to protest? Sure. I mean, like I said, but I have people say to me, did you see the Michigan players protesting at the game the other day? I said, no, I didn't. And the reason I didn't was that I was told there was an F-18 flyover and I wanted to see the Jets. So I was looking up at the sky, not at the sideline. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Imagine feeling the raw power of a 400-horsepower twin-turbo V6 and match that with all-wheel drive and the ultimate in comfort and technology. Experience the zen-like feeling for yourself. Stop by our showroom and experience this incredible American luxury vehicle, the new 2017 Lincoln MKZ. It's more than a car, it's an experience. Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury is waiting for you to come and experience the complete lineup of Lincoln luxury vehicles. Sunbury Motors is making that luxury an affordable reality with 0% financing for 60 months and $1,000 cash back on 2016 Lincoln MKX, and 0% financing for 60 months and $3,500 cash back on 2016 MKZ hybrids. Comfort, performance, style, and luxury are all made affordable at the Susquehanna Valley's home for affordable American luxury, Sunbury Motors Lincoln. Check out our inventory online at sunburylincoln.com or visit us today in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
Okay, back in, what, 1 hour and 6 minutes?
Sounds about right.
And Sharmarek Curtis will talk about the fifth-ranked Penn State field hockey team, and then it'll be, obviously, James Franklin to talk about this week's game with Minnesota. And we'll discuss that coming up, and much more. Again, Colin Kaepernick and others are well within their right, obviously, as Americans. This is what makes this country great, to protest. All right? They're also there to express their opinions and so forth. Okay. Now, American, but everybody in this country is also within their right as to whether they agree with the protest or not. Now, this does not just go one way where Colin Kaepernick and others, we have the right to protest. Absolutely have the right to protest. But here's the problem that they have to understand with free speech, is that people are also free to react to that protest as to whether they agree with it or not. Many people agree with it. Many people don't agree with it. You know, so freedom of speech is a two-way street that has to be respected on all sides.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.